Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Professor Adrian Puren, Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. We wanted to chat to him this morning, not about COVID. How about that? Professor, good morning to you. It must be so, so refreshing not to talk about COVID for a minute.
Yes, it is quite interesting to see that there are other infections in circulation that we need to talk about really critically as well. This is one of those, I think. Yes, so what about Salmonella typhi?
What is Salmonella typhi or thyroid fever?
Well, it's mainly a bacterial infection caused by bacteria, Salmonella typhi. There are other bacteria that cause similar, like paratyphoid as well, cause similar types of presentations. And it mainly presents, and that's what makes it very difficult sometimes to diagnose, and sometimes it is underdiagnosed, is the fact that it presents very similarly. So in other words, you can have a marked fever above 38 degrees with nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. In fact, you can have the other way around. You can have, in fact, constipation as well. Oh, wow. So there are these various presentations as well as a rash. So you really need to be familiar or have a high index of suspicion were you to make the diagnosis. And in South Africa, it is what we call endemic. In other words, there are small numbers of cases, about 150 or so cases, I think, are reported per year. And it's what we call it's epidemic prone, in other words. So in other words, you can have this endemic circulation of low numbers, but it can certainly become explosive if, for example, particular conditions change. There's a high rate of susceptibility, as well as, for example, let's take water contamination, food contamination, and this can lead to fairly large numbers being infected. In fact, in South Africa, we have certainly experienced these explosive outbreaks or epidemics with regard to Salmonella. It's eminently treatable. So again, it's important that the diagnosis be made. And in fact, it is also a notifiable condition. I just want to emphasize that.
Interesting.
Yes. So in other words, if you do identify a case and it's proven to be Salmonella typhi by either culture and nowadays, obviously, sequencing, it is eminently treatable, and I think it's ciprofloxacin is the antibiotic of choice. But of course, you can just imagine, of course, the drug resistance will rear its head as well under these particular circumstances. So there we have it in a way. Yes.
So what are the main causes of this? Is this the same thing that you get from chicken and all sorts of things like that?
Yeah, so that's important. So there are different sources of infection. Mm-hmm. So one is could be contaminated food as a result of food handlers, for example. So poor hygiene is an important contributor to that. And in fact, as well, not only is it about poor food handling and hygiene, but also if human waste that is contaminated with Salmonella is sprayed on, for example, lettuce or vegetables and things like that. That could be another source. And of course, because it's person-to-person spread, in fact, it's only found in humans, if the water becomes sufficiently well contaminated, then that's another source of infection. So poor sanitation, poor hygiene can certainly contribute to the spread and transmission of Salmonella.
Are we seeing increase in numbers?
So I noticed the numbers yesterday, and I'm not sure which periods those cover. So it could well be within the numbers that we would usually see, but I think there is concern that there's been ongoing, I think in particular in the Western Cape, that the transmissions have been ongoing. So I think there is concern around being able to manage that, finding the sources and stemming any further transmission as best possible. But as I indicated, you know, this can become explosive, and I think that's very important for us to keep an eye on the numbers to ensure that if it's certainly growing and we're not able to identify sources or control, for example, if it's contaminated water, for example, and not replace that, then we can certainly have a problem on our hands. Yes.
And it is something we will definitely keep an eye on. Once we have you here, Professor, it would be rude for me not to ask you something about COVID. I see that they've just released, SAHPRA has just allowed for this COVID medication to be allowed here in South Africa. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I think that that's an important step as part of our ability to control the epidemic and control or prevent infections and transmission. So I think that is an important step. I'm not a clinician in terms of treatment, but I think that it's certainly a worthwhile intervention. The nature and extent of and the availability, I think, will be of important consideration, but I see that it will be made available, but how widely is going to be of interest.
We'll have to see,
it's an important part of step around this. Again, I'm not sure the nature of this particular drug in terms of resistance as well. So those are also matters that what one may well have to bear in mind. It was similar to flu when Tamiflu came out. Again, you know, these drugs are useful in a limited setting. So again, you need to be clear in terms of your identification who will benefit from this particular drug. So again, it's not about asymptomatics, but particular conditions where this drug can be applied.
Right. And in terms of any further information on Omicron and the sub-variant, I know that you are keeping quite a close eye on what we're seeing here in South Africa, as well as people's reaction to it.
Yes. So I think the evidence, at least from the UK and other places, was that, in fact, the vaccine effectiveness was not markedly affected between the two variants. It's thought to be, if you like, more transmissible. Mm-hmm. But a recent publication from the NICD and its collaborators certainly does show that it does not lead to poorer outcomes with regard to hospitalizations and so forth. So I think, yes, I think that's why it's probably becoming more dominant, because of the higher degrees of transmissibility. But I think my sense is that in terms of hospitalizations and death so far, that it should not affect that, but I think it's important to keep an eye on that critically to ensure that it, again, that the hospitals are ready, that they don't become overwhelmed with cases.
Right, as unfortunately, before you came on, I was looking at the situation in Hong Kong, and it's very, very disturbing there.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. So those are the scenarios which I think we've been through a few times. Absolutely. Here in South Africa as well.
And so, we don't want it anymore. We feel like now enough is enough.